Pastor Gary Connor welcomes you to this message from Christian Worship Center, located in Zillow, Washington. Christian Worship Center is shaping the lives of people and families through a vibrant church community and world-class educational program. Our passion is to impact our state, national, and worldwide community with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this powerful message.
I guess I'm a proud dad this morning and obviously a proud grandpa. You can't be anything else when you got grandkids. You're just automatically proud, you know what I'm saying? And some things have been happening in my daughter's and son-in-law's life that I was sharing a little bit on Saturday mornings, this last Saturday morning with the men at the Men of Valor. And we were talking about, you know, God answering prayer and the reason I saved this story for after the offering is so you wouldn't think I'm trying to pump you for more offering, you know. I don't do those things. But at any rate, they're living on less than a shoestring, half a shoestring, if they've got a shoestring, I don't know, over there. And they're following their dream. They bought land over there, and they're building a log house, which by itself is an endeavor personally. And I've built things, and I would never endeavor to do what they have done. and then the story about what they just did the last couple of days, in and of itself, is another miracle. But they were struggling financially. I mean, they had the nest egg. They went over, they sold their property, and they went over and bought the property and were building and with what money they had. But how many of you have ever built anything, got all your money together, thought you had it all covered, then finally realized at the end of it, you owe another 50 grand, you know, because it's always going to run more than you anticipated. But at any rate, and so they got no work. They got no, so there's no income, no sight of anything in the future there for them, because they're so focused on getting this house done and you know, get the roof on this year and so forth. And so they had a car for sale, and they had it for sale for a long, long time, just trying to get some cash to eat with, you know. And the Lord spoke to my daughter. Now, this is just fascinates me. This is why I'm a proud dad this morning. The Lord speaks to my daughter, and I don't remember all the details. I'm just going to give you the gist of it as much as I can. And tells her that she should give more in the offering at church. They found them a nice little church up there. We're going to try to go visit that. But at any rate, and so she told Denny, Denny, I think God wants us to give more in the offering. We have a need. We don't have a job. But I think he wants us to give more in the offering. And Denny said, like any hardworking guy would say, wait a minute, we pay tithes, we give God, we're faithful in our giving. Now, one thing I've always taught my children, not to pound this in your brain, but I've always taught my children to give when they were little kids, and you know, grandma or their aunt would give them $5, $10, I'd teach them to tithe on that, give some to God, it belongs to him. And so, anyway, Denny said, I don't know, I think we're already given. I don't think that we need to do any more. And so Danielle, dynamic spiritual woman that she is, and if those of you that know my daughter, you know how shy she is and whatnot, unless she gets to know you. But anyway, so she tells the Lord, Lord, I think this is you, but you speak to Denny's heart. And so guess what? God spoke to Denny's heart, and this is what happened. So this. Not only have I proved this giving thing throughout my whole Christian experience, I've been a faithful giver, all those kinds of things, and God has blessed me in a lot of ways. But those of you that know giving to God is not really giving to a church or a pastor, you're giving to God. Anyway, so the Lord moved on Denny's heart, so he gave another $20 bill in the offering. The next week, I think it's the next week, maybe so. Anyway, just in a few days, somebody called about their car, came with cash and a DVD, because they had that little DVD thing the kids can watch in the back seat thing. It was a Ford Explorer thing or something like that, or whatever it was. Anyway, so they came with cash, bought it, and drove it away. So they had the cash for the car. And then just a few days later, Linda Brownlee, who many of you may know, needed a shed built. And so Denny said Denny's really close with the Brownlees when a guy was alive as well. But he said, no, I'll build that for you for free. She would not let him build it for free, so she paid him. And when she finally gave him the check, there was another $1,000 in the check. Yeah, praise the Lord. Let me ask you something. Do you think Denny now believes in giving to God? But that's not all. Yeah, praise the Lord. That's not all. A relative of Linda's bought a house and wanted Denny and had somebody start building, remodeling it, and said to Denny, we're going to get rid of this guy. He's not getting it done fast enough. We want you to come and remodel this house for us. And so through the time when he could not work on his own house, he was able to remodel this house and have an income all that time. Now that just shows you when you obey the Lord that God responds and he blesses you. Now I wanted to make sure I said that after the offering, because I don't want to prejudice you or make you think that I'm trying to promote that. But what I call that proactive faith. I think that when God speaks to you is part of it, yes. But I think a large part of it is you determining to be faithful and to express your faith in your action. And I call that proactive faith, where you take charge by believing and trusting and so forth. Now, I know that God gave me this message, and I know some of the situations that are going on in our church of people that need jobs and people that are going through some very, very difficult times this morning. And so I wanted to direct your attention to the book of Mark, if you would. And I want to talk about proactive faith, because I think there's a difference in having faith in God and faith for salvation. We're not talking about people who are not saved and that do not have faith. I'm talking about people, obviously, you're in the house of God. If you have not made a decision to receive Jesus Christ, well, then I would encourage you to do that, because that will open up what I'm talking about a little bit more to you. Because when you become a Christian, get filled with the Spirit and all the everything that God wants to do in your life spiritually, what I'm about to tell you becomes very important, because there's a big difference in just believing in God and believing for your salvation and having a routine faith and just accept life being thrown at you and just with whatever faith you got, muscle your way through it. I think that's a possibility. I've muscled through a lot of situations in my life. But I think, and as I look upon the scripture and I think about what the Lord has been laying on my heart, I think there are some issues that we as Christian people need to kind of come to grip with for our own benefit, for our own blessing. I don't like to use these two examples I'm going to use, but it's in Mark 5, so you can go there if you'd like, because they sound like that I'm directing it at some individual, and I'm not necessarily, even though we have people that are in the very same situations. But I want to be sensitive to that. But what I want to address before I even get into the scripture is, there are times that we pray, and God hears us, and God answers us, but sometimes he answers us not in the way that we want him to. And so that brings up so many questions. God, I pray, and it doesn't seem like you've answered or done anything. And this is a hard topic to address, because there are a lot of times we pray, and it doesn't seem like God answers. And then maybe 10 years down the road, bang, something happens, and God reminds you, remember when you prayed way back here? And then there are times when you pray, and you pray, and you pray, and God answers, but it's not the way that you anticipate or want him to do it, but you understand that God's sovereignty is far wiser. And you'll understand better what I'm talking about in a second. That God's sovereignty is far wiser, and that as life goes, sometimes we just have to trust the Lord. And you'll understand exactly what I'm talking about here in just a moment, but I want to kind of set the stage for what I think is a very important issue. I think we can change things. I believe the old saying, prayer changes things. I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. I gave you a good example of it just now. And I'm convinced that as I look back over my whole life as a Christian, and as you do the same thing, you can probably remember the progressive work of God that he's been doing in your life all these days and all these years that God's been involved in your life, and you've been serving him. There are some caveats. Of course, God doesn't like to bless you if you're not serving him. Amen? If you've given your heart to Christ, and then decided to just go back to your old life, don't expect God to bless you. He's not going to do that. If you're a Christian that's struggling with a particular sin, trust me, God is trying to help you, but He's not going to bless you when you continue in a sin. Amen? Am I making sense? In other words, God wants to bless the faithful, and He does that. Now, that doesn't mean He forgets and does not try to help those that are not faithful or that make mistakes or are caught up in a sin that they can't break out of their life and they're in bondage there. God's still working to help you and help you and help you. But I'm talking about issues that you can make a large difference in by being proactive in your faith, by seeing an issue and speaking faith to it and believing that God is going to do something marvelous. And with the same caveat, we don't always see God do it our way. We got to keep that in mind. But I want to give you some confidence. I want to build your confidence this morning, and I want to encourage you. But I don't want you to think that I'm using these scriptures because they may be right where you're at this morning. I'm using them because they're two extreme instances where Jesus Christ does something marvelous and glorious, and that does not mean that He won't do that for you. So whenever you've prayed and it seems like God doesn't answer the way you want Him to, trust me, God is still on the job, still working, and still will work things out under the leadership of His great sovereignty. Do you believe God loves you this morning? Let me ask that one more time, get a little more enthusiastic response. Do you really, really believe God loves you? Then why should we ever doubt the fact that what God does in our lives is not His will? And why should we ever doubt God when we don't see Him move immediately? And why should we doubt God when He never answers our prayer exactly like He wants Him to? And let me give you an example. We've lost loved ones in this church. We've got a plaque out here on the wall that lists people who have been a part of our church for whatever length of time or whatever and have passed away. Many of them we have on where that old fountain thing there is going on. Look at that plaque next to it and you'll recognize some of the names of the people that have passed on that have been a part of this church. I prayed for every one of them to be healed, for every one of them to rise up, God raise them from the dead, but they're gone. You see, the reality of life is that everybody's going to die. The reality of life is there are going to be sick people. And there are going to be some sick people that are not healed, but ultimately healed. Am I making sense? There'll be people who have gone through horrendous diseases and problems in their lives, and they succumb to them. That does not mean God is not real. It does not mean God does not love you. It means God is taking you to a place where you are in His presence. Do you believe the Bible? That's exactly what the Bible says. To be absent from the body is to be present, hello, present with the Lord. Can you tell me a better place than to be in the presence of the Lord? There is no better place. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the very hope of the gospel message. That regardless of what happens on this side of heaven, I'm assured because I've placed my faith in Jesus Christ that I will one day stand in the presence of the Lord. That is my great hope. That's how I'm able to face the difficulties of life. Life is tough. Life is hard. And there are no guarantees in life. The only guarantees you have is that if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, He will forgive you and He will redeem you and He will give you eternal life. That's the only true and valid thing in life. Everything else is flexible and in flux. There's nothing except His word, of course, but that's exactly what I'm talking about. Let me take you to a scripture before I rant on so far that I can't get to the message that I want you to hear this morning. I want to encourage you this morning. I don't want to talk gloom and doom. That's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about hope and glory and power with God is what I'm talking about. But I'm going to use two situations. The setting is Jesus is coming back across the waters from an excursion He had over by the tombs of the Gadarenes and at Gadara. And there He delivers Probably two or three or four, I don't know how many, but one author talks about two and focuses on one. One author talks about one, which indicates to me that maybe they're focusing on the one, so that there's not really a contradiction there, as some people would think. But either way, he comes from that time of delivering this guy of demons, legion of demons, casts him into pigs, the pigs go off, the people chase Jesus out of town. Because their livelihood was with the pigs. You understand? And then we might want to think about our livelihood. But don't think that far. That's just too far to go. Amen? But I have worked with a couple of hogs a few times myself. And so I know. But at any rate, so he's coming back from that. And when he gets back from that, a gentleman, and this is very interesting to me, in the 21st verse, "And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the..." Listen to this. This is just phenomenal. It's the kind of thing that this just should not be happening. We know the controversy in Jesus' life and that the religious leaders are opposed to him. They want to put a halt to him because he's taken away offerings out of their baskets because other people are giving them to Jesus and not to the synagogue. But listen to this. "Behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue." And it's interesting. When the Bible talks about you by name, it's sometimes a great honor. But listen to this. "Jairus was his name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, and she may be healed and shall live." Listen to Jesus' response. "And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him. And in fact, they thronged him," which means they were just all around him in the crowd. You know, you've seen a football game championship and the quarterback's trying to get off the field and to the locker room and people are just thronging him, jumping out of the stands. And you've seen basketball games when the championship is won, they just, all the crowd runs right onto the court and just smother. That's similar to what was going on with Christ. So he's just come from a spiritual battle that he fought with the demons. And now he's come and he's faced with a situation that's very dire. It's a situation where this is a desperate situation for a religious leader amongst a group of people that don't want to have anything to do with Jesus. He has to swallow a great deal of pride and dignity, and even, I don't know at what level he was a ruler, but he is going to absolve himself from that because there's no way my daughter is going to be healed unless I go to this man who has been healing people. Hello? Desperate times require desperate measures. Yes, yes. So the daughter, about 12 years old, is lying sick, dying. And something interrupts this. I want you to get the context of this because I think it's important, because there are going to be times in your life when Jesus is coming to your house. Jesus is doing this, and something may interrupt that and appear to be the very nemesis of what your need is. Jairus, Jesus, his disciples going to Jairus' house, and in the middle of this, a woman with an issue of blood. Chronic disease. Hello? A chronic disease. She's paid a fortune to doctors, and I have nothing against doctors, but she's paid a fortune to doctors, and they've been unable to help her. Do you know of people in that situation? There are certain places in diseases that we get to where there's no human ability to help. They can only keep them comfortable at best. But she's paid fortunes to doctors in good faith. They were unable to help her. Nobody's condemning the doctors. Nobody's saying, don't go to the doctors. Nobody's saying that. But she sees Jesus and proactively pursues her healing. She didn't wait for Jesus to come find her, although he's done that before. He went to the Gadarenes to deliver a man. He went also over to Tyre and Sidon and blessed a lady over there. And so Jesus is not above going to find you. And that is a very comforting and awesome thing by itself. But she did not wait for that, for him to be recognizing her in the midst of this crowd. How in the world would he find that one single figure, probably bent over from her diseases, I don't know. And in fact, the reason I think that is she was probably crippled up more than what the scripture tells us about her issue of blood. I think that this has taken its toll on her because she doesn't reach to touch his garment. She touches the hem of his garment. How is Jesus going to see her in this crowd? How am I going to be able to have access to Christ in this crowd? How can I get a solution for my problem in this crowd? Sometimes we need to be proactive. And I'm not saying anybody isn't. I'm just saying, isn't this interesting? Isn't this interesting that these people didn't wait for Christ to come to them? They went and got Christ and beseeched him to come, and he was coming. And then he's interfered. It's like me trying to get out of church, or you trying to get out. You can't get out of this church without somebody shaking your hand. Somebody else trying to get your attention and shake your hand. I mean, that's all wonderful stuff. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about it's impossible sometimes to get through the crowd because these people are thronging Jesus Christ. And yet you got to commend this woman for being able to say, just, hey, if I could just get I can't get him or his attention or have him focus on me, but maybe if I just touch the hem of his garment, that would be enough of my faith to get healed. It's not the amount of faith you have. It's how proactive your faith is. If you're at the position in your Christian walk where you're just walking routinely, you think you got it all together, you know the scripture well enough to know the promises and the hope, and you're just sitting waiting life out, you're not very proactive. And my guess is that you'll have a lot of times where you are on the ceiling for Christ and in the basement for Christ. Amen? That you will vacillate many times and that you will not be consistent sometimes in exercising your faith. Because I don't believe you can go through a day without exercising your faith in Christ. I believe that you're going to face something every day where you need to call upon the Lord to help you. I was at yesterday, I'm in such a spun out position. It's just crazy. It's been slammed work-wise and all that, and don't have time to do a lot of things. And somewhere, you know those vent things on the side of your house there where your fans are blowing, so I don't know what the vent is exactly for, but the plastic thing was kind of rotted, and the starlings got into my house and into my attic there, and I'm so stinking busy, I don't even have time to go chase them out of my, every time I hear them in there, I'm thinking, I got to get out there and get those birds out of there. Finally, there comes a certain time of the year when they go on their own. They're looking for, food and other stuff. And so I'm getting ready to go plug up them holes, put a new vent thing on it, put screen in it so they can't get through it this time. And so doing the manly thing, working on your house thing. And I'm walking out to my truck to get some tin snips because I wanted to cut some mesh to keep them from getting in again. And I'm stopped by two young gentlemen were at my door. And I come out, and they're standing there, and they're obvious. They have dark coats on and ties, and they have these badges that say elder such and such, and I forget the gentleman's name. Very respectful young man, and I was respectful as well to them, and commended them that I was proud of them that they were willing to go out and make such a commitment for what they believed. And then, of course, they're wanting to convince me to read the Book of Mormon, and I'm telling them I've read a lot of it, and I don't put much faith in the Book of Mormon. I said I don't put much faith in a lot of the latter-day revelations because most of them have been some kind of an assault on the divinity of Christ. And so we started talking, and I'm asking them questions and going back and forth, and this is the way I approach them. I'm asking, well, is this really what you believe, and that Jesus and Lucifer are brothers, and that they were procreated by God in heaven, and there's many, many brothers of Christ and stuff. And I said, see, because if that's what you believe, and they of course agreed that that's what they believe, and I said, well, my problem with that is that the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of the Father. And if you read the Bible in the Old Testament and the New, you very easily see that Jesus Christ is divine by nature because every part of creation Jesus Christ was involved in. There was nothing made that Christ was not involved in making. And so you from before the Old Testament, you see the pre-existing Jesus Christ before he came into the flesh to redeem us. I said, so he was not created or procreated by God. He is God. He is divine by nature. Yes, Jesus Christ is, and all things come through Jesus Christ. I said, yes, but it's the real Jesus. By definition, your Jesus is not the same Jesus as the Bible Jesus. And that, well, can we come back and talk to you later? Because we'll bone up on this, and we'll come. And I said, come anytime you want to. Don't try me during the week. It'll have to be just like you found me. Out here working in the yard, I'll sit down and talk with you guys and share with you. And we talked about a lot of other things. As man is, God once was. And as God is, man shall become. All in violation to the divine nature of God. Because God has been God from eternity. He was never a man until Jesus Christ became fully man and fully God. And so we had some pretty interesting discussion there for a while. So I got an appointment with him. Catch me on a Saturday when we got some time. We'll sit down and talk some more. But I mentioned that because I needed to be proactive that moment with my faith. And I needed to know what I believed. And I needed to know how to answer some of their questions and to kindly and gently let them know that I have no confidence in the Book of Mormon or the Pearl of Great Price, which they didn't even know I knew about, or Doctrines and Covenants. And so I said, I've read some of them. I think I have the Pearl of Great Price, but I don't have Doctrines and Covenants, or one of the two. And I said, so I'm familiar with this. The reason I share this with you is you never know. You never know the moment your faith needs to be strong and immediate and ready. And you need to be proactive at all times, ready and prepared to be proactive with your faith. Not only in the areas of healing a woman with the issue of blood, which to me, and I use this for the reason of its extremity, this is an extreme situation. Here's a chronic disease for years that nobody can heal, and yet Jesus, with not even paying attention, she touches the hem of his garment. Her faith generated the virtue that flowed through Christ to her. God responds to faith. God responds to proactive faith. Oh, he responds to your faith in your routine life. You know, you got a routine life. You get up, you go to work, you come home, you eat dinner, you watch TV, you go to bed. Do the same thing the next day, same thing the next day. You got your routine. I'm a Christian. I go to church on Sunday and worship the Lord and all the things that I'm supposed to do because I love the Lord and all that. I do all those things. That's routine faith. I think there's a call now amongst Christian people for proactive faith. The kind of faith that is going to demonstrate that God's power is greater than all the power of mankind. That men do not have the kind of power that God has. And that only he can intervene in situations that we have no ability to change whatsoever. We heard some very serious prayer requests this morning while we were in prayer about people that are their children and so forth that are got diseases that are literally consuming these children. That's pretty serious. Doctors are trying to help, but they can only go so far. And Kathy comes up to pray, and we're praying for them. And I'm thinking to myself, only God can do something here. I don't think that's coincidental about the message that I'm talking about. I think that's God. I think God is trying to awaken his people to be proactive in what they believe. I believe this, and I stand for this. The Supreme Court issue is just another issue. The children of God need to rise up and be so demonstrative with their faith, and so, and I want to get to this outline in about an hour, and so unwavering and unyielding that we refuse to compromise what we believe. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe walking holy, living purely. I believe in walking the way God wants his people to walk, righteously and upright, and every dealing that they do. Try to be as honest in everything that they do and set a great example to the rest of the world that this is what Christians do. This is what Jesus, his effect in my life is. I try to live an honest life in all my business and everything. I try to be honest in everything I do because it reflects on Christ. It's also the reason I don't have any bumper stickers on my cars for fear that if I make a mistake, somebody knows me and sees that on my car and I run over some old lady in a crosswalk or something. That's what Christians do. They're all hypocrites. They just run over people. You know how that works. I want to be above and beyond that. Am I making sense? And so I want my faith to be proactive. I want to be ready at every moment. Should someone need, with an issue of blood, needs to be prayed for, I want to be there. Even if I don't know it, I want to pray for them. I want to be there, and I want my faith to be the kind of faith that is going to just engender a great miracle in their lives. And I'm aware that God doesn't always answer every prayer, and I'm aware of that. I've already addressed that, but I'm still convinced in my heart, my responsibility is to believe, actively believe, that God is going to heal right now. And then it's God's responsibility to follow up. And I have seen him follow up so many times that it's unbelievable sometimes. It's just like Peter knocking on the door. They go to the door, they see he's there because he's supposed to be in jail. They just close the door and walk back to the other group and say, hey, Peter's at the door. Nobody believes that. Finally, they let him in. There he is. They prayed him out of jail. And when he came to their door, what are you doing here? You're supposed to be in jail. I don't want to have that kind of faith. I want to have a kind of faith that I'm standing by the door waiting to open it for him to be there and open it up when he gets there. That's the kind of faith I want to have. Proactive faith. Praise the Lord. And so here's some things. I got to move quickly now. I know you know that, but anyway. I think our faith should be so proactive is probably a word, a good word, but I think it should be of such great influence and of great power that we have total confidence in our message. And the reason I said that, say that first is because of my encounter with the boys at my door. We need to be instant in season and out of season, but that means you must know what you believe. You must trust the message. You must have full and complete confidence in the message. I'm confident that every person I have introduced to Jesus Christ and they've accepted him as their Lord and Savior, I was confident that Christ would forgive them if they asked him. Is that not the message? That you can have hope, that you can have forgiveness, you can have eternal life by trusting and asking Jesus Christ to come into your life, asking him to forgive you of your sins. I know that when I tell anybody that Jesus Christ is right there with all the power of heaven to deliver that person and to give them eternal life. Praise God. You've got to have that confidence. All too often, we have been so afraid to share our faith that now we're facing issues that are so large that we need to unify our faith to be able to handle them now. Because God's people were asleep at the switch, maybe, partially, but it doesn't matter. What matters now, we're facing issues in this country and in this world. It's not just America, it's all around the world. That we're facing issues that Christians need to stand up and be proactive in their faith. And along the way, the Bible tells me in this same book, at the end of this book, these signs will follow them that believe. They'll preach the gospel and they'll take up deadly things. And we're thinking about having some snakes here next week, the rattlers, so we can pick them up and prove that you can pick up any deadly thing and you can drink any deadly thing and it won't harm you. We want some proof here, amen? You can forget it. I'm not that stupid. I'm not going to tempt God. I'm just going to trust God. Amen? But the message is true. The gospel message that Jesus saves, Jesus saves, Jesus saves is true. Every time it's tried, it's true. Every person that asks receives Jesus Christ. So you've got confidence in that. You know that's happened to you. You believe in that. You know you've got confidence in the message. You have to have confidence in the message or you really don't have anything to say. And the interesting thing about this message is that when you say it, God validates it. Yeah. God is right there to do it, to prove the message is true. Praise God for that. God will take the action you need him to take if you'll stand and voice and be proactive about your faith and about the message that God has given you. Man, it's true. It's always been true. It will forever be true. Nothing will ever change the message. It is always going to be true. That's pretty confidence building, isn't it? That makes me pretty confident. Second thing, if you want to have proactive faith, is you've got to be excited about the possibilities. Pow! I don't know how many times that I've bargained with God. God, man, if you would just do this great miracle in our church, do this or do that, it will open, people will hear about it. Throngs will come to know you and give their hearts and their lives to you. And that may or may not be true. But God doesn't like to bargain. You do know that, don't you? God has His truth set up, and I can defend it, and I can preach it, and I can share it, and I can be proactive about it, but it is God that makes it true, not me. It is God that brings it to pass, not me. It's God that works the miracle, not me. I'm just a vessel, and you're just a vessel. We're all just vessels through whom God passes the message to others. But He does encourage us to dream big. What are the possibilities? What can we accomplish for Christ? When we're faced with issues, can we overcome those issues? Can we challenge those issues? Should we challenge those issues? Should we stand against them no matter what happens? Absolutely, if we believe the truth of Jesus Christ. And the possibilities are unlimited. We can do all that. I think this is right. I think this is in the Bible. It's not in the Book of Mormon, I know, but it's in the Bible. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen? And what are we talking about? We're talking about the kind of faith that makes you bold when you've always been timid. The kind of faith that makes you wise when you've not been so sharp. You know what I'm saying? That helps you at the very time that you are called upon and need the help of God. It is there, immediately there, because you are standing for the message. What are the possibilities in your life? What stands before you? You don't know, but you can dream. Can't you? Can't you dream a bit? Can't you dream that on your job, on your job site, that these people that are ruining their lives by whatever kind of living or whatever circumstances have struck their lives, and that you're there with the gospel message because you're born again, and this person comes to you to talk to you. How many of you have talked psychology rather than gospel? Oh, if you just love your husband a little bit more, be kind, make sure dinner's ready. Let me tell you what, that's a bunch of bull. What you need to be saying is, hey, what you need in your heart is Jesus Christ. It will change you first and your husband second, or vice versa. Jesus Christ is the answer. So what am I saying? I'm saying, are we going to be proactive enough with our faith that whatever situation we find ourselves in, we will look for opportunities to share our faith with other people? There's two requirements Christians have. One is to live like Jesus, and two is to go. Hello? Well, if y'all went, we wouldn't have church. But what does that mean? It means go to church, and it means go out in the world and be proactive with your faith. The reason that we have been overrun with so many immoral decisions in our country and immoral activity is because we haven't allowed the power of God enough to flow through us. Oh, I know this is end time stuff and things have to come. I understand that. But that does not absolve us of the responsibility as Christians to demonstrate the power of God. The possibilities are unlimited. The dream is unlimited. The vision is unlimited. We can do all things through Christ Jesus. If we're willing, the door will open. God is just waiting for us to see the possibility and let the door open. How many times have we walked past the door that has been open? Hello? You know, one of the things that I always try to do whenever I am put in situations where it is possible to share the gospel, I always try to make sure I share the gospel. When we're in situations like Baxter coming in talking about, and this takes me back to the old days when I used to witness whether people like to witness or not. You know how obnoxious Christians are when they witness when you don't want to hear a witness? You know what I'm talking about? And so I would do things like talk with my buddies loud enough for the whole room to hear. I figured if you get the seed out there, somebody's going to let it germinate somewhere. And so when Baxter's in Western Materials telling me about this wonderful miracle that's taken place in his life, physical miracle that took place, how God just really healed him right there on the stretcher, God healed him. And he's telling me about this. We're in a place of business. We're in Western Materials where I buy my materials. These people know me so well, they know me too well. But at any rate, we're there talking at the desk. Who of them is going to stand up and say, stop talking about Jesus? They're not going to say anything because I'm a customer. Hello, advantage. Advantage. I'm a customer. So we talk church talk. You know how church people talk? Church people talk like nobody else talks. We talk about getting saved. And you know, and we use all that church jargon. So he and I are bantering that back and forth. Some of these people know and some of them don't know what we're talking about. But before that conversation's over, everybody in that room knows that me and Baxter believe in Jesus Christ. And that is he that healed Baxter and nobody else. In fact, it was so powerful a moment that the lady waiting on me started praising the Lord. He told her how he was on the stretcher, and this is funny. It just blows my mind. I've known this gal for many, many years. She's been there. He's on the stretcher. He's talking about when he was on the stretcher, and God healed him, and he just sat up on the stretcher. And she's here listening to us talking back and forth and back and forth, and I'm getting more excited, and Baxter's getting more excited, because we're seeing the possibilities that God is doing great things, you know. This could be open doors for you to witness to all kinds of people. And she's there watching us and talking to us, and she just goes, well, praise the Lord. Even those who don't go to church start praising the Lord when Christian people start being an influence wherever they're at. You think any one of them are going to tell me to shut up? They all know who I am, and they all know that I can take my business elsewhere. So my $5 and me can go. In fact, they probably wish I would go. Please go to the other guys. But my point is this, isn't it awesome that there are possibilities before us that we've never dreamed about that are just before us, but we'll miss them if we're not proactive. If we don't take charge of our faith and use it for a possibility that God wants to have happen that we never imagined what we would be used for. Never imagined to be used for. I'll give you another illustration of my daughter. They're at the ladies' meeting. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a miracle. My daughter at the ladies' Bible study. Oh, you saw that? We know what ladies' Bible study. What's so grand about that? Well, it's awesome when your daughter's never gone. Your daughter has never been a part of a church that actively, not even ours. She would come here and sit here, and her biggest minister was sitting at the bank talking to people as they came in. A lady comes into the Bible study weeping. She's in pain from some kind of issue there. And my daughter joins with the other lady and lays hands on her and starts praying for God to heal her. You have no idea. You guys don't know. You've known my daughter perhaps, but you just don't know how foreign that is to my daughter. She'll admit she was scared to death. I don't know if the faith got past her fingers or not, but I'm thinking, hey, it's pretty cool. My daughter's now, she paid a little bit more money and God blessed them financially. Now she's praying for the sick. Oh my God, says it could be another Joyce Meyer, Danielle Grubinoff Ministries, International Ministries. Laying hands on the sick and they recover. You know what I'm saying? Active faith. That's why I'm so excited as a father today, because I'm seeing these things happen in my kid's life and I'm thinking, oh, goodness sakes, this is what we prayed for before every one of them were born. We dedicated them to Christ and asked the Lord to use them in some kind of a ministry. Now she's little Danielle on the prairie out there and she's and she's laying hands on the sick. I mean, think about that. That is just a blow mind to me. But really, that's the kind of activity we should be about our faith. I believe Jesus saves. I believe Jesus heals. I believe Jesus Christ still does all kinds of wondrous miracles in our midst. And we could testify. If I opened this up for testimony, it'd be after 2:00 before we got out of here. Just by what God has done in your lives this week, because God is so grand. And so I think to be proactive in your faith, you've got to have confidence in the message. It's just like selling any product, but only it's got more spiritual ramifications. So you need to be excited about what the message can do, the possibilities of what can be done, imagining what God can do if your faith is unleashed in a particular situation. Faith by speaking and praying and believing, the potential is unlimited. The envisioning of the possibilities, I think, is divine. God is leading us to do that. The third thing, as I move quickly, is we need to be passionate about it. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not a good salesman. I'm really not. I've had a lot of people come to me because I preach and I'm a public speaker, and they tell me, man, you'd be an excellent salesman of this. And I actually signed up one time for Amway. Anybody ever been signed up for Amway? You know what I'm talking about? I made one sale, and the guy looked at me at the price, and he looked at me, and I knew that he would not be a return customer. My first customer and my last one. Because I'm just not, some of you have that talent. If Randy DeFord was here, you'd have an exact idea of what that's all about. I'm just not a salesman. I can't take a product, even if I believe in it. I'll tell you, hey, this is pretty good for me, but that's as close as you're going to get. I cannot close the sale on that because I'm not passionate about it. But the gospel I'm passionate about. I can talk about Jesus all day long. I can tell you about Christ. I can tell you about the things he's done in my life, the obvious evidence that he is alive and well and working and ministering in my life, my confidence that he loves me, that he's concerned about me, he cares for me, he's looking out for me, he's working in my life. That's all evident to me, easily evident to me. I'm confident in that. I have all the confidence in the message, and I have confidence in the possibilities, and I have confidence that my passion is sufficient to sell the message of the gospel. I know because I've sold it many times. I've convinced people to accept Jesus Christ. I've convinced people that what God has done in me, he will do for you. That's the awesome thing about it. And heaven, I've got all of heaven. I've got all the power of God behind me. So it's not me selling you a product. It's me making you aware of the message that has endless possibilities and that will work every time it's tried. Oh, that is just awesome. And I don't know how to express it any better. I'm just passionate about the message. I'm passionate about what Christ. Every morning, you don't. I can't verify that. Well, my wife could verify it. Every morning, I praise the Lord for what he's done and where he's brought me to. God, I know what a wretch I know what a lowlife I was. And God, I don't want to have those kinds of thoughts or attitudes or things. I don't want those things in my life. I just renounce all that. I don't want it in my life. Every morning, I praise the Lord. I'm passionate about making sure he knows I love him. And I'm grateful. And I attribute every good thing in my life to him. He has been the one who has blessed me and brought me as far as he's brought me. And every one of you today, I think, can say the same thing. Jesus is the answer. He's the one that's done this. He's the one that's healed me. He's the one that's delivered me. He's the one that's supplied my need and provided for me. He is. And I'm passionate about that. I've seen it happen so often. And so many others have done that their passion begins to overflow and their faith begins to follow that passion and begins to speak faith words. And that which is not real yet becomes real and becomes substantive. And the awesome thing about that is that my relationship with Christ becomes fresh every morning. Fresh, brand new. I recall all the things that he's done. I give him praise for that. It builds my confidence. I'm unmovable in that. You're never going to take that away from me. Nobody can take that away from me. I possess that. That's mine. My eternal life is mine. I have salvation in Christ. Nobody can take it away from me. Throw me in jail if you want to. Whip me if you want to. Crucify me upside down if you want to. Hang me on a tree like Christ. It doesn't make any difference. You cannot take away my salvation. Amen. So we're in an awesome position this morning, or early afternoon, that God has anointed us and laid his hand upon us. And if we remain unmovable in the things that we've just illustrated this morning, God will back the message in your life. He will back you as well as the message. And he will give you assurance every day, that you're right where he wants you, and that he's going to give you opportunities to be proactive with your faith. You know, I could give you story after story that I've heard from other ministers, and you've probably heard many of them too, about people whose lives, farthest thing from their mind was Jesus Christ. And somehow one person crossed their life, intersected their life somehow, and introduced them to Jesus Christ. At the very minimum, give them the invitation to know Christ. That when they did, when they accepted this message, some guy out of the blue sharing this, their lives were so transformed that they went on to be great influences for the kingdom of God. President of the Hell's Angels. You know what I'm talking about? Gangsters. I've heard testimonies from gangsters who actually were hitmen, murderers, who received Jesus Christ and they went on to be great ministry people for Christ. Criminals of the higher intellect, like Colson, thrown in prison because of his relationship with Nixon, became one of the greatest prison ministries around. You know what I'm talking about? Whoever knew, whoever thought, whoever knew what ministering to that one person would do, that they would go on to do so many awesome things for Christ. The possibilities are unbelievable. And just because you think you live in little Ozilla or nearby, or Yakima even, that this is insignificant territory, it is not. Let me ask you one thing, and then I'm going to close with this. What have you been going through the last few weeks? Let me ask you something. Just don't be timid. Be brave. Be powerful. Be proactive. How many of you have been going through hell this last week? Huh? You know what I'm talking about. Now, next week, it'll be the rest of you that didn't have your hand up. But what does that indicate? That indicates to me that the enemy of our soul is very active, trying to discourage us, trying to trip you up, trying to get you to sin, trying to get you to reject Jesus Christ, trying to get you to turn back to the old life. Some of us have been doing this so long as a Christian, we don't even know what the old life was like anymore. But sometimes we're tempted to go back to it. Because I'll tell you what, trying to keep frogs in a wheelbarrow will make you want to go back to your old life. You know what I'm saying? That convinces me that what you're going through has spiritual significance. Deep spiritual significance. And the reason, our church is a small church in a sea of churches. That does not mean we're not significant. It means that we're in a position where God wants us, and that there are going to be many things that rise up against us on an individual basis, which has direct effect on the total crew, all of us. When you go through bad things, we sense it, we feel it, we know it. When I'm going through bad things, you know it, because we're a body of believers together. And so when you're going through things, it convinces me the devil is trying to discourage us for a reason. That's his whole MO. It's always been his MO. He's always tried to discourage you, cause your faith to be weak, and make you think your faith is weak, make you think you don't have enough faith even to get to heaven, that Jesus don't love me anymore. I'm going through, why would he let me go? I've heard and I've said all those things. The truth of the matter is, he has confidence in you. Did you hear that? God not only loves you, not only has a great message, all those things that I've shared are true, God has confidence in you, that your faith can move mountains. God has confidence in you. What you may not know is which mountain you're needed to move. But that door will open. That life you will intersect. That one person that you minister to, that one situation where you speak Jesus by faith into it, God will make the difference in that situation. And don't think he's not aware of where you're at. He knows you just like Jairus. He knows your name. In fact, he knows you so well, he knows how much hair you don't have on your head. But is that not an encouraging thing? Does that not build you up? He's in the midst of these two extreme situations. Oh, by the way, he raised a girl from the dead. Hello? She died. This little interlude with this woman with the issue of blood prevented Jesus from getting to Jairus' daughter to pray for her. And therefore a messenger comes and says, well, forget about it. Don't bother him anymore. She's already dead. That's finality talk. That's not faith talk. And Jesus' response to the messenger is what? Hey, all things are possible. Just believe. Just believe. All things are possible. When he gets there, he raises her from the dead to the astonishment of all the mourners. Now, granted, he may not do that for everybody or in every situation, and that's not the point. The point is, he's capable of it. He's capable of doing the impossible when the people of God believe in the impossible. Therefore, your faith is necessary because God, for some reason, wants to cooperate with us to accomplish his miracles. Isn't that awesome? I think we should stand and praise him for a moment, don't you? As we bring this message to an end. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Father, we love you this morning. We bless you this morning. We glorify you this morning. And we just ask, Father, use us as never before. The hour requires it. The time now is when your people, under your anointing, can accomplish marvelous, impossible things. That your handiwork, that your glory, that your power may be flowing through us to see that your works are accomplished and that your miracles are fulfilled. And that people come to know your Son as their Lord and Savior. Father, use us. Open the door. Help us to be proactive with our faith and never fail to be a good witness for you. And Father, thank you for loving us. Certainly, I do not deserve it, but you do love us. Continue to love through us as well. We pray that prayer in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to encourage you. Listen to me. Doors are going to be opening. They always open. Doors are going to be opening where if you step through that door, you can be the very key that God uses to bring a revival in areas that you never even thought impossible. This is impossible for the gospel to penetrate here. He may be using you to do it. Be sensitive. The message is true. You're not telling lies, you're telling the truth. So I want to unleash you this morning. This next week, what I would encourage you to do, test what I'm saying. Test it out. God, I'm speaking faith about this issue in my life. I'm speaking faith in this circumstance that's beyond our ability. I'm speaking faith. I'm proactive. I'm going to believe for a miracle in this person's life. And God, I just know that you're going to accomplish that. My wife and I have a prayer time on every morning, and we pray that way. We declare those things in the Spirit. We believe that God hears us, and then what we unleash on this earth, He unleashes in heaven. And so we have a prayer list that's getting bigger now that we're praying and fasting some for different issues. And I'm fully convinced God is going to work miracles in those areas that we've been praying about. So what I want you to do, don't do what I'm doing. Do what God tells you to do. But I would like you to be sensitive this week that, oh, the neighbor you talk to every day, you talk to them every day, you talk about the fruit, you talk about the weather, you talk about the fires, you talk about, that person may come to you with a need. Guess I'm in a position, I don't even know what to do. I know what the answer is. Jesus. Jesus will help you. Look for the opportunity and watch what happens. You won't believe it. Not only will one door, more doors will start opening. And your faith may be the faith that ignites a lot of other people's faith. And the Christianity will rise up against the forces of evil. And we'll tear down strongholds that the enemy has built. Strongholds in your families. Strongholds in your friends' families. We'll tear them down in the Spirit. And we'll see those lives changed and transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. Because the message is true. And if you'll just be proactive in your faith, see what God can do through you. Amen? God bless you. You're dismissed. Praise the Lord.
For more information about Christian Worship Center, visit us on the web at www.cwczilla.org. We'd love to see you in person at 204 Shane Road, Zilla, Washington, 98953.